Peter's from Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. It's 1172 if you want to follow your pew Bible. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as it did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
So we've had our new communion site today, which has been wonderful. And as I said, as I've met with them over the weeks, we've had a great time. I really, really enjoyed it. Just my social occasion and getting to know people a little bit better. But also in reevaluating and rethinking your faith, which is always a good thing to do. We've learned many things. We've been on a journey learning a story from this amazing book. What's this book about? What's the good news about? What's the gospel? What is that? We've heard it. We know it. But do we own it? And that's what it's been about. It's been owning it for ourselves, but saying, this is mine. Christ died for me. Not just a history story, but a personal story. It's his story as part of history. So we had a great time learning it, and we've remembered that as we become a Christian, God gives us His Spirit. His Spirit comes to live within us. Can't really understand that. That's a hard thing to get your head around, but it's true. But with all things godly, with all things divine, how can you get your head around that? We can begin to understand them a little bit. But to imagine that God now lives in Matthew and in Callum. God now lives in Maya and in Amy. God lives in Libby and in Henry. That is fabulous. But it's a mystery. And He begins to do His work. That's the whole point. And there's so much to say about the Spirit, and we're going to be thinking about many things over the weeks. But today we're going to think about how the Spirit seeks to glorify Jesus by developing the character of Jesus within us. That's what we call the fruit of the Spirit. He seeks to glorify Jesus by developing the character of Jesus in all of us. Isn't that amazing? Because that's what He wants to do. He wants to make us more and more like Jesus. And He needs our support. He needs our cooperation. Because God won't do something that we don't want Him to do. And it's like that for all of us. If we say, no, I don't want that, He won't come. He won't change us. But He wants us to cooperate with Him because it's good for us. It is to develop us. It's to make us like Jesus. So Paul has talked in the earlier part of this book about the acts of the sinful nature that was just read. And there they are. That means what life is like without Jesus. The acts of the flesh or the sinful nature are obvious, says Paul. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. We might think, well, that was written for another time. That's got nothing to do with me. That does not describe my life. And yet, if you just take the word idolatry, which means putting anything else before Jesus, who has not been an idolater? Who has never been envious? No, this speaks to what we can all be. That's our natural, sinful nature. That's why Paul says it's obvious. But in coming forward today, our communicants are saying, they recognize that Jesus has said, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to be like that. And that his death on a cross opens up a way, an opportunity to become something different, to become someone different. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. So how does this happen? Is it just about a Christian lifestyle? Dressing nicely and going to church, not swearing, not. Well, no, it's not about a Christian lifestyle. It's about a radical transformation inside. It's not about a new set of rules to follow. Give me those old rules. Here's a new set to follow. No, it's not about that at all. It's about a complete transformation from the inside by the Spirit. Can you get your head around that? Even a very clever man like Nicodemus couldn't. And he knew so much, but he came to see Jesus by night. And Jesus said to him, you're so clever, so intellectual, so religious, but you don't understand that you have to be born again. It's a radical transformation from the inside, and that's what God is doing in all our lives for those who are Christians. Ripping out the old and starting again. It's like having an old building that's I'm not looking at this building in particular. It's like having an old building that's crumbling and falling down. You think, what will I do with it? Well, we could plaster it a little bit, fill up the gaps, fix the holes in the roof, give it a fresh coat of paint, maybe put in some new lighting. What have you got? An old building with some lighting and some paint. Or else you can demolish the whole lot, start again with something brand spanking new and wonderful. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. Not fiddle about. Rip it out. He doesn't come to transform our hearts. He comes to give us a new heart, a new life. With Jesus, everything is new. And that's what this whole thing is about. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So we're thinking about the fruit of the Spirit in chapter 5, verse 22. This is the Holy Spirit's work. We can't do this. We can cooperate with him, but only he can transform us. And it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits of the Spirit. It's just one fruit. Many facets, but just one. Next week we'll be thinking about the gifts of the Spirit, where God gives different people different gifts. But the fruits of the Spirit are meant for all of us. We're meant to have all these fruits. And I've got a visual aid today. Come here. A bunch of Tesco grapes. This is one fruit, but there are many bits and pieces to it, isn't there? Many bits. And this is what this is about as well. There are 9 words down here in this verse. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, and so on. But actually, it's one fruit, and the fruit is love. That's the way we should read it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, which manifests itself in joy. And peace, and patience, and goodness, and kindness, and all the rest of them. But it's love. That is the fruit of the Spirit. And it works out the greatest commandment, doesn't it? Remember, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with everything you are, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love is the greatest. Love is the greatest commandment, and love is the fruit of the Spirit. Because unless the Spirit helps us to love God, we will not. We'll choose other things, or other people, or other ways. Unless the Spirit helps us to love, we will never love. Joy. Wish I got sweet ones. But joy is great, and joy is not like happiness, is it? Happiness is dependent on circumstances. When things are going good, I'm happy. When things are going bad, I'm not happy. But joy is something deeper. Joy is not dependent on circumstances. And what Paul's talking about is this joy is a recognition of what God has done through Jesus. Died on the cross to take away my sin, rose again, defeated death. Because he defeated death, I can live. Does that bring us joy? It should. Romans chapter 8, maybe the greatest chapter in the whole Bible. Paul talks about no condemnation at the beginning of that chapter. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The end of the chapter, it is no separation. He believed that nothing could separate us from the love of God in Christ. Nothing, not even death could separate us. No condemnation, no separation. Should that bring us joy? Well, you work it out. But that's what it means. It doesn't depend on circumstances. It depends on what God has done in Jesus. Peace is the third one that's mentioned down there. Before Jesus died on a cross, we were at war with God. We were at war with God? That doesn't sound right. How could you be at war with God? I wasn't at war with God. No, I wasn't. Yeah, you were. We were all at war with God. We didn't want to know him. We had rejected him. Our sinful nature was fighting against him. Our mind was in denial of him. We were at war with him. But when Jesus came, he came to give us peace. Isn't that what Jesus said before he died? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus left his disciples the peace that passes all understanding. And Paul reminded us of this gift when he says in Colossians, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, or rule in your homes, or rule in your workplaces, or rule in your marriages, or rule in all your relationships. Let the peace of Christ, it's totally different from the peace that the world gives. Totally different. It's a work of the Spirit, a fruit of the Spirit. Patience. Well, I suppose God demonstrated his patience with us, didn't he? I mean, he could just wipe us out because we're a miserable kind of bunch, really. I speak for all of us when I say that, but particularly myself. But God is patient with us, and he wants us to be patient like he is patient. And you might say, oh, it's not my nature to be patient. Why are you so bad-tempered? Well, it's just the way I am. No, it's not the way you are. That's the old you. God's not interested in the old you. He wants the new you. Remember? Rip it out. Start again. So don't blame it on the old nature. God wants to transform us, and we have to cooperate with the Spirit. Patience, like Jesus was patient. Kindness. Isn't that a lovely word? I love the word kindness. Isn't it? Beautiful word. When someone's kind. And this is the lovely picture of God's relationship with us. He relates to us not like a dictator, but as a father who loves us and wants the very best for us. Kindness, and he wants us to have that in our lives. Faithfulness. That's a lovely word as well, isn't it? Someone who's trustworthy and reliable. Someone who follows through what they say they'll do. So our young people and not so young people say, I'm going to follow Jesus with his help. Being faithful to that. There's that lovely Hebrew word, hesed, which means God, covenant love, faithful love. It never changes. And he wants us to develop that as well. It's a work of his Spirit with our cooperation. Gentleness. The Holy Spirit is a gentle spirit. He will never go or force himself where he is not wanted. But we want him. He brings the power of God with him. Gentleness. Self-control. The great thing is that as a Christian, we're on the victory side. Jesus fought a battle and he won. And when we align ourselves with him, we're on his side. We don't fight the battle. He has and he does. We're on the victory side. So we don't have to live as the world lives or be swayed this way or that way. We can be self-controlled because Jesus is with us. His Spirit shapes us. Self-control. So these are virtues that you expect all Christians to have. All of them. but they don't come naturally. So when you become a Christian, you're not suddenly from impatient to patient, from harsh to gentle. We have to walk in step with the Spirit. We have to cooperate with the Spirit. We have to want to see change in our lives. And if we do, He will change us from glory to glory to be more and more like Jesus every day. And it's not really what we want. What other kind of role model would you have? He's the best one. The only way for these grapes to grow is when they're connected to the vine. And that's a lovely image that Jesus uses. He says, I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, you'll bear lots of fruit. But if you don't, you'll die. So the only way to develop this kind of fruit is by remaining in Jesus, who is the vine, to stay connected to Him. Read our Bibles. Want to get to know Him. Pray. Put on your walking shoes. But to remain connected to the vine. As you know, we were in Italy for 6 days this week, and we left some grapes in the car. And when we got back last night, they weren't in the best of shape. Because there's nothing worse than rotten fruit. Do you want one of these grapes? Oh no, there's stuff growing on that and there's fruit flies all over the place. Oh yuck. Who wants to have rotten fruit? And who wants to have rotten fruit in their lives? And Jesus wants us to have good fruit in our lives. He wants us to have His characteristics planted deep within. He wants us to say, Lord, change me, because you know how I work. You know how to bless me. Lord, I give it to you. I give myself to you. It's your work. It's the fruit of your Spirit. Would you let your fruit grow within for the glory of Jesus? And guys, for Matthew and for Callum, for Amy and for Maya, for Henry, for Libby, and for all of us who follow Jesus, this is what He wants to produce in our lives, and He will, if we want Him to, if we let Him. This is our God.